wife can't do front and yet. And the priests are really saying, about pretend that the Obama administration plans to help the Haitians. They absolutely do. His report, I have it, I've got it on my stop. The headline is, they get in, think of this as a, hundreds of U.S. paratroopers touched down and shed at Port-au-Prince overnight. They need full attention. They don't need hundreds of U.S. paratroopers.
It's all about control, and it's all about dominance. I find it interesting, I read that report that you're talking about, and I find it interesting that the Obama administration is trying to, quote-unquote, decide what to do, and yet putting in machine guns and paratroopers to control the country. In the middle of all of that, you've got China, who lands a plane yesterday, I think it was, or 2 days ago, with equipment and medical supplies. People there working in hospital Venezuela, landing a plane with firefighters and other things, medical equipment. And the United States vacillates on what's, we've got the most resources, we've got the quickest way to deliver it, and we're still sitting around going, well, let's see, what are we going to do? And other countries are sending things in already. We're in a military, and that says everything about where the United States stands today.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. And we've got an area that are about to arrive. We've got Coast Guard vessels patrolling in Haiti, mainly to South Florida. So they're picking them up, and they force them back to Haiti to live under these conditions. We've got at least 30,000 undocumented Haitians in the U.S. There has been going for months to get them what's called temporary protected status. We have given it out routine to many other countries, including Central American ones, Honduras, Nicaragua. We've given it to Liberia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, to Haitians. And they need it as much or more than anybody. A quick break, Bob. Let's take that and come back and do a little more on this.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptom energy, blood sugar spikes, and dropulation and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized, has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now, how can I tell everyone how much healthier I feel? I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 and North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court. Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute. Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt. Call 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality, the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary, exclusive black Berkey filter elements remove pathogenic bacteria at detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable yet attractive, the Berkeleyite is trans, no filling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful. Necessary for only $250.
Welcome back to the News Hour. Talking with Bob Abele, talking about the tragedy. Bob, I have to wonder whether this might have even have been a... I don't know. what can be done to avoid earthquakes, maybe nothing, but certainly a lot could be done knowing the risk is there, and it was known that Haiti was earthquake prone. It sits on a very dangerous fault. It had been over 200 years since the last major earthquake. There was a report in a Haitian publication, Le Matin, in 2008, that highlighted the danger. So there was no excuse for officials not knowing that potentially anything could happen anytime, just like New Orleans. It was well known that New Orleans was vulnerable, that sooner or later, the big one, hurricane-wise, would hit New Orleans. It did. The poor communities were left unprotected, so they'd be flooded out, so they could ethnically cleanse them. I honestly believe that was the plan for Haiti, to get rid of Haitians, lots of choice areas, get them out, so put in no preventive measures, let these people just sit there being vulnerable, and let the worst happen. I guess nobody would know just how bad earthquake might be. But on top of it, the structures in Haiti, extremely flimsy, and I don't know that even officials are put up under building codes. I don't know what the law is in Haiti, but my God, when the Supreme Court building collapses, the parliament, the presidential palace, I mean, just imagine what happens to the homes of poor people that are little more than tin shacks.
Well, that goes back all the way to our history with Haiti. A lot of the shacks and ranchackle houses that were built up in the countryside where they were most vulnerable to the earthquakes were done because they were pushed there, gosh, over 30 years ago, I guess, decision of the United States and the world community that that was going to be assembly manufacturer plants there. And so they needed a good slave workforce, and Haiti represented a good country by which to do that. They were a poor country to begin with after the French got done with them. And so they moved in and pushed people out of the cities up to the hillsides and established the cities as the manufacturing plants that they wanted to put there. And so they made the people even more vulnerable. And so the only real law that you have in Haiti has to do with economics as far as it's concerned. The people of Haiti were constantly being pressured to repay their reparations to the French for their 18th century. And so they were impoverished from the very beginning, and then they pushed up to the hills to live cheaply, and then they're in ramshackle houses that collapsed with the earthquake that are most vulnerable there.
Areas of Haiti, areas, and that's right, Bob. There were homes built, I guess ramshackle homes of poor people built in these hilly, mountainous areas. They came tumbling down, and one house hit another, and they just collapsed on top of each other. Probably without question killing the people inside. But, of course, in the city, the devastation was vast as well. And this was not just a bad earthquake. It was an earthquake that was close to the surface, making it even worse, and hitting Port-au-Prince. It was only 10 miles offshore, so in other words, it was virtually beneath Port-au-Prince, a city with over 2 million people, surrounding area, probably talking 3 million people. When this is done, we'll never get an official report on the death toll, but I honestly think there's a chance it could get into the hundreds of thousands because you've got the initial toll right now. You've got people who will die, and there's no equipment to dig out any numbers of them. They'll get a few out, but most of them will stay under that rubble, and they'll simply expire because nobody came in to get them. And then you've got Haiti, of course, is a tropical country. You've got high temperatures. You'll have thousands of bodies unburied rotting in the streets or under rubble. There'll be a serious disease threat. So on top of everything else, there'll be disease. There's immense deprivation. Before this thing ever hit, they didn't have enough. I mean, Haitians literally were starving. They eat something called mud cookies. No nutrition. Stomach failure. Not the kind of mud that you dig out of your backyard, but mud cookies. They're basically stomach fillers filled with bacteria, so they're dangerous. I've written about this. They're dangerous. They just fill empty stomachs. So, I mean, Haitians have a very low life expectancy. More than half of them under normal conditions have no clean water to drink. Until recently, 11 an hour, the 20% of the population that worked, another percentage that had part-time or sporadic work, I mean, Haiti is a desperate country under the best of conditions, not because it has to be that way, because the country is so ruthlessly, brutally exploited by whom? Well, you've got the Haitian elites, Bob, but they're nothing. Washington's iron grip has been on Haiti since the 19th century, and they squeeze the life out of Nile, most of them desperately poor, and now they've admitted to real humanitarian aid. That alone could do for them, and it won't come.
It won't come, and it'll be interesting to see how the Obama administration and the corporate community responds to this, because the tendency to, particularly now, allow the corporation to call the shots about what aid goes where and what strings are attached to it. And normally what they do is they end up, we're going to give you loans, and we're going to let you pay us back for your right now. Really wanted thing humanitarian and really help Haiti around. Obama will be very clear about this. It will be grants that we're giving you, no strings attached aid to bring Haiti back, and we will help you develop. But I don't suspect that that's really going to happen, because the whole thing, as Naomi Klein has pointed out, it's going to be very much like Katrina. You have corporate America coming in there with an agenda, loans and profit making, and that will profit and will keep on them.
Oh, I have no doubt about that, Bob. If we did it to our own people, admittedly, poor black people in New Orleans, and New Orleans is the big issue because Katrina was such a major disaster, but this gentrification stuff goes on in most every city in the country. In my own city, people are continually forced out of neighborhoods as gentrification moves in someplace else, and with no rights whatsoever. And people here and exploit them. What we would do for Haitians? Well, in over 200 years, we have never done a thing. All we have done is at the one time they had aid. Well, both Bushes, father and son, Bush Senior let a Haitian general do it, and Bush Junior sent in the Marines. And on the 14th yesterday, Bob. One of many articles in the New York Times, acting with a pretense of mentioning Aristide and saying he resigned. Well, he resigned at the point of a gun, and probably something was said to him, you will either come or we'll blow your head off. Well, he wasn't given a choice. He was seized in the middle of the night, February 29, 2004, another date in our history that will live in infamy, Bob, and we took him against his will, put him on an airplane. He had no idea where he was going. I think the windows were blacked out. He had no idea. They sent him to the Central African Republic, a French-controlled country, I believe, a brutal dictatorship. He didn't stay there very long. He ended up in South Africa, where they have treated him well. But I believe he's under de facto house arrest. So he really isn't free to speak. He issued a press release yesterday. I don't have it in front of me. I got a copy of it. It was a powerful, passionate statement. And one of the things he said, well, they won't allow him to come back, but the Haitians desperately need him. They need him. And he said that he will come back anytime. He will come back now if they let him. What better way to show care for the Haitian people than to let this beloved man, of all the Haitians, this man is the most beloved man in the minds and hearts. And if he ever showed up in the country now, what a morale boost that would be to Haitians. There's going to be serious trouble there because people are starving. The AP report, Bob, looters with machetes. I mean, you're talking about you're portraying these people as criminals. People are starving. They have no food to eat. We're all in those conditions.
Everybody would be, of course, and really me of what it is that it's a stand for, because plenty of ability to the people in terms of food and medical supplies. $1 on Afghanistan, so in the next few weeks, and looking at Haiti and just shrugging our shoulders. And in terms of a government, I know there are a lot of people that are making private contributions to charities, but the government that supposedly represents us would rather go to war in Haiti and Pakistan and ignore the catastrophe of humanitarian proportions.
Oh, no question, Bob. I'll give listeners a wonderful charity to donate to. You got to be careful because some of them are phony, and they won't use them. I can tell listeners a wonderful charity. We'll be right back.
Attention ladies, Dr. Arthur Perry inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. It works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of four expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
Free 10-day supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your...
Do you know the truth about your treatments? Do you realize that with presently accepted methods, you are not correct and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Ethiopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
The organization I know absolutely five-star gold-plated is Clinton DePaul. He is a physician. I believe he has a practice in Boston, teaches at the Harvard Medical School. He's an author. I've read two of his books, one on Haiti. Forget like a great many. I don't know the number. It could be in the hundreds. And they provide free health services to poor Haitians who, of course, have no money to pay for any health care. And I'm looking. I'm on their website right now. But it's simple. It's simple to Google Partners in Health. You go right to the site. There's a spot where you can donate to the effort. And anything given to them absolutely will go to free health care, 100% to free health care for poor Haitians who without organizations like Partners in Health wouldn't get it. And they've been in the country for 25 years doing this, all free.
Well, that's a great charity. You know, I heard on the radio yesterday on KPFA, which is our local Berkeley station here, they were discussing the various charities that people could donate to, and I was not surprised to hear the experts on charity talk about exactly what you just did. Be careful of to whom you're donating, because a lot of those charities fudge their books, and it makes it look like 90 or 95 or 99% of the money that they collect goes to the actual charity, but in fact they have found ways of fudging the numbers, and in fact 50% or less roughly to the people to whom you want it to go.
Bob, absolutely, and Sri Lanka, other countries, people donated money and not a dime of it went to aid. Because the poor areas were most heavily damaged, and the plan was to the people had to evacuate, so many were killed. But the idea was, now we got rid of them, they will not be allowed to come back, they will not get any help, and the money went to developers. to build properties, developments for profit. That's what a lot of that money went for. I think the same scheme is planned for Haiti. Obama pledged $100 million. I don't think 1% of that will go to providing real humanitarian aid for Haitians. It's going to go to developers, Bob, to contractors, to U.S. businesses, and I think these people are salivating at the prospect of rebuilding Port-au-Prince. I mean, they're going to have to rebuild most of the city. So this is big profits for corporations.
Yeah. If your listeners are interested in what looks to me to be a really solid article on that, they should read your latest one, The Big One Devastates Haiti. I have it up, but if you look, I mean, I'm looking at the themes that you developed there, the way that economically we've put Haiti, our boot on Haiti's neck, continues on. And some of the facts that you present in your article, I think, are right on target, that it's a country that has been exploited and under extreme poverty for, gosh, since really the 18th century, I guess, and it continues on today. So if 1% of Haitians control half the wealth, as you say in your article, which sounds right to me, and the inequality of Haitian wealth is so vast as it is, the chances of them seeing any of that wealth that Obama promises is pretty slim, I would think. That I would think that the people who are in poverty are going to continue to be in poverty, and the people who want the money, the corporations who are going to contract to come in and rebuild those buildings, are the ones who are going to cash in, just like they did with Katrina, just like they did with Iraq, just like we're trying to spread out to others to do the same.
And the term Naomi Klein uses, disaster capitalism. Oh, that's exactly what the plan is for Haiti. Another example of disaster capitalism, exploitation, make a buck out of disaster. And Haitians have been exploited for 500 years, Bob, but we've only been around, at least officially, since 1776. But they had their revolution, and were freed in 1804, I believe. And they had a couple of years of freedom then, and then it ended in large part because this country would not recognize Haiti. The idea of an independent black state when the good old USA had slavery all through the South, my God, you can't recognize free black people when the only thing we wanted to do with them then is enslave them. So we didn't. And then later on we exploited them. During the 19th century and 1915 to 1934, a brutal period where, beginning under Woodrow Wilson, ending under Franklin Roosevelt, the Marines occupied the country for 20 years and absolutely savaged it. In another article or two, I described a few massacres that Marines committed against Haitians, murdering in cold blood hundreds of them. So now the UN peacekeepers have been murdering Haitians since they came in 2004. And I wrote an article about them, Bob, a couple of years ago, and I called it something like a UN paramilitary peacekeepers. They're not there to keep the peace. They're there for exploitation, to hold the people down. And U.S. forces were there initially, French, Canadian. Now it's Jordanian, Brazilian, Colombian, whoever the devil the force is. But they bring these people in, and they brutalize the Haitian people. Haitians hate these people. They want them out of their country. Oh, my goodness, another break. I do want to go on to other things as well, but we had to cover Haiti, Bob. Let's take a break, and we'll shift to another topic.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading 800-691-7898 before this happens and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Babily. Bob, there's so much else going on, issues at home with the state of the economy, that the myth that things are getting better. Yeah, tell that to people still losing their homes. In December, something close to 600,000 people lost their jobs. There was a phony, smaller number published, but a much broader survey that included small business showed close to 600,000 people. This is recovery, and of course we have all those foreign wars. I'll let you jump on whichever one of those issues you want to address.
Well, I think they're all related, actually. The downfall of the economy is, I think, directly connected to the corporations that are spending their money to get money off of making war. So you have the what Eisenhower wanted to refer to as the military-industrial congressional machine or complex, that kind of are all in this whole thing together, and it kind of winds around, and you get this kind of circle that keeps going, and it's a money-making circle that let's spend our money on sending out weapons, and let's take it away from the people, and we'll just send out weapons to other countries, and then when they start coming back on us, we'll spend money on getting weapons for us to attack those other people, and that's where our whole stock and trade has gone. And in addition to all of the scheming that is done with the real estate bubble and all those other things, I think one of the big things that has to be talked about is the relation of going to war and sending out weapons by which we can make other people war and then go in to attack them with even more weapons of our own. That's become what our business has stood for instead of the common good for the people. So we've seen a great big shift over the last 20 years in particular, but perhaps over the last 10 years of pushing in this direction of warring and giving weapons to others so that they can war. So I think that really is coming back to bite us in this whole economic downturn that we're still spending more and more and more money under the Obama administration, record defense spending under Obama for his budget, that fund wars rather than fund the people. And I think that's where it really has to start. We've really got to start the revolution in thought with this understanding that private contractors, the military-industrial, congressional machine, and lack of oversight on all of this by Congress is really contributing substantially to the significant problem that we're having at home. I find your commercials very interesting that I've listened to as we've gone on. They all underscore the insecurity that we're currently in. What we really need to do is take a look at why we're in that insecurity, and I think not enough can be said about these foreign wars that we're spending so much money on and the domination and the oppression and the occupations that we're engaging in. This latest one in Yemen is going to cost Obama dearly. I think Yemen is kind of the Arab Islamic version of Afghanistan. It's going to be a drain that's going to circle around and pull us down further and further because it's a very unstable country.
Oh, indeed, and Somalia is the same way, where you've got local influences that pretty much run their own area. Certainly Afghanistan is that way. Yemen is that way. The president of Yemen is like the puppet we say is the president of Afghanistan. He's really no more than the mayor of Kabul. And the head of Yemen, I guess, is something like the mayor of Sana'a, the capital of Yemen. And you've got local—I don't think they're warlords, but tribes and groups around the country, whatever they are. I don't know that much about Yemen. I wrote one article about it, but I'm certainly no expert on Yemen. But that looks like another quagmire in the making if we get into it. And we're looking for others all the time. I mean, it really is crazy, Bob. Obama has proposed, his administration proposed, $708 billion in the latest defense budget. And he just asked 2 days ago, I believe, for an additional $33 billion for Afghanistan for the 30,000 troops being sent over there. No mention is made of all these outside contractors. The number of contractors right now equals or exceeds the number of troops in Afghanistan once the 30,000 get there, but probably these contractor numbers will increase once they all get there. So we're spending more money. Well, you add them all together. There was a figure I quoted, I think, from the Congressional Budget Office that to support one of our soldiers in Iraq or Afghanistan costs $1 million a year because of the soldier, everything to support him, some women, of course, not combat, but some women, and all these contractors that we can pay so much money to provide all kinds of things, so many of them for security, plus the Halliburton, KBR now, an independent company, doing all kinds of things, reaping in many, many billions of dollars. Oh, I mean, this stuff is obscene, Bob. So, I mean, we're spending these hundreds of billions of dollars literally right down the drain. There's no return on investment. I guess if you conquer a country, occupy it, and you say we own it now, I guess that's a return on investment.
Not for us.
not for the people of this country, for sure. But otherwise, I mean, you spend weapons, munitions that are used up, you throw them away. I mean, if you build cities, if you build infrastructure, if you provide people an education so they can go out and perform useful services, I mean, this is the way countries grow. Well, I discussed this on a program a few days ago. Yesterday, I'm sorry. Education in Korea, Bob, where the kids, they're really overeducated because the kids spend so much time in school, they don't have a chance to grow up and be normal kids. They stay there till 10 o'clock at night and get back the next day at 7 o'clock in the morning. But there's a great deal of effort in Asian countries, I think in particular, to develop the young people, at least enough of them, I think a good many of them. And this is the way you grow your people to have an educated population, skilled to be able to do the things that can grow an economy. So what do? We're doing just the opposite. We're destroying public education. We're spending too much time fighting wars. We're deindustrializing. Our biggest industry are the casinos that operate on Wall Street. They call themselves banks, but they're not banks. They're casinos, and they get free money. What kind of a country is this, Bob?
It's a get-rich-quick country by anybody who can get rich quick. You touched on a couple of things that actually kind of piqued my interest, particularly the numbers that you were quoting with regard to defense contractors. Jeremy Scahill had an article out last month breaking down Senator Claire McCaskill's subcommittee on contract oversight, government contract oversight. And Claire McCaskill has said that there's 104,000 Department of Defense contractors in Afghanistan right now. And when Obama gets his surge of 30,000 troops into Afghanistan, they expect that that's going to add twice as many additional contractors. In other words, there'll be upwards of 170,000 defense contractors. We are paying for those contractors. They are making money by being there off of us. And so it's that military-industrial complex circulating around again. And now, when you take all that into account, according to Scahill, we've got 189,000 personnel on the ground in Afghanistan, most of whom are contracted by the U.S. government and being paid good money to be there to do our bidding and really kind of do their own bidding in terms of what they're doing. Now, when you kick all of that into high gear and then start talking about the United States paying Afghan fighters not to attack us like we're doing in Iraq, and then the Afghan fighters paying the Taliban not to attack them, we end up paying the Taliban, and they're continuing to use that money to increase their own arms to attack us. So you've got this whole circularity of the war going on, and people profit more and more from that, including Blackwater and all of the others. And that's where the money is going. If you want to see where the drain is that's circulating around, that's where you put your finger in. And the solution is stop doing that. And the electorate, the people, have to step up and say, okay, Obama, we put you in office for a particular reason. You're not doing anything. You're just continuing on with what Bush has been doing, like you in your article, Steve, wrote about, and Nat Hentoff has written about a couple of days ago with an article entitled George W. Obama, if I recall. The idea is that Obama is escalating the very problem that we have gotten ourselves into, that we are putting more and more money into military to fight what I consider to be CIA-backed wars, and putting a lot of money into the CIA and the drones and the targeted assassinations. And that has absolutely no response, I don't know what word I'm looking for, consequence for the people at large. So people continue to get laid off. People continue to lose their jobs. But, by God, those defense contractors are profiting handsomely. And that's where I think we've got to start this process of overcoming our fiscal devastation. Stop warring on people. Stop giving them a reason to war on us.
Very definitely, Bob. And the defense contractors are many more companies than the Boeings and Lockheed Martins, the whole technology industry. I mean, they're producing all kinds of stuff that goes into war making. So you can talk about software companies or hardware companies. They're coming up with all this kind of stuff. And you can think of so many things that might go into surveillance. And I mean, they couldn't operate these drones without something coming out of a Silicon Valley that figured out a way to operate them and shoot their missiles or whatever else they have. And all of this is going on. Military spending is always the least productive, Bob. It does not get you the bang for the buck that commercial development does in terms of growing your economy. So we do it nonetheless. And now in my lifetime, I was born in the 1930s, but I was too young to have any idea what was going on. So basically, I can say in my lifetime, This is by far the worst economic period, and I had a discussion yesterday on this program with an economic expert he sees this going on. He sees this economic malaise that very well can be a depression going on for another decade, maybe two decades. There's no end to this thing. Because the economic policies alone, plus the war making, exacerbates everything. We're simply making a bad situation much worse. We're not addressing the problems to try to cure them. We have an enormous debt problem, for one thing, and all we're doing is fueling an incomprehensible amount of greater debt to the banks, Bob. We've got this guy, Borofsky, who's some kind of a supervisor over the money that's being doled out or whatever. And I remember a quote from him to the banks, meaning the big Wall Street banks and the big insurers like AIG and people like that. We have either given or we have pledged, and if I remember the number right, it was $23.7 trillion. And these people basically have an open-ended checkbook for as much as we want. And an economist that comes on this program often, Bob, Jack Rasmus, he'll be back on again the end of the month, he says, not only are the banks getting free money, but we are paying them to take it. I don't quite understand that, but basically they're getting free money so they can have as much as they want, pay back the TARP money. The TARP money is inconsequential in terms of all the rest that they've been giving, and there are a lot of other four-letter programs or three-letter programs or five-letter programs that are also giving them untold hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars. And the reason Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and these other bandits are making so much money, it's not from doing banking. On the one hand, all of their toxic assets that are probably worth 10 cents on the dollar, they're not being written off, Bob, because we suspended this so-called mark-to-market rule, meaning if you got something that you're valuing at a buck and it's only worth 10 cents, well, you got to value it at 10 cents or write off the other 90 cents. Well, we suspended that going on. So they don't have to write off their losses, and they're taking the free money, and they're gambling. They're gambling with our money, and they're making all kinds of profits. So the profits they're reporting are gambling profits, not banking profits, while the country is going to hell.
And in the meantime, the bad guy is not them, but they've succeeded in their PR machines of making the bad guy Al-Qaeda and other people all around the world, but it has nothing to do with them. And so we'll trump up all kinds of reasons to keep things the way they are. None of them have anything to do with the fact of the matter that you've just stated.
They sure don't. And again, people are really in awfully bad shape. I wonder all the time, Bob, how long will people in this country, how much pain will people in this country take before they not only realize they've been betrayed, but the betrayal is so immense that they're literally going to go down the drain and they may end up losing everything. The homeless population is growing. The people who are hungry are growing. There are millions of people in the country that the Department of Agriculture says are food insecure, meaning they're not altogether sure where their next meal is coming from. And within a mile of where I live, Bob, in downtown Chicago, I could walk to a neighborhood where an awful lot of people live that literally don't know where the next meal is coming from. And if their kids weren't lucky enough to be in a school where they might get one hot meal, I don't know how good it is, but one hot meal, they might end up spending that day hungry. And they go to school with no breakfast. So, again, if they didn't get something, these poor kids would be hungry. I mean, there's no way you can learn if the hunger pangs are the main thing on your mind. But, I mean, this is terrible stuff going on. And none of it has to go on. But the way we're governed, Bob, we let this go on. And that's worse than shocking. I mean, this is criminal big time.
And the people, I think people have had two problems. Number one, I think a lot of people are very demoralized. That they're the very people that you're talking about not knowing where their next meal are coming from. They're hardly going to be in a position to be protesting what the Obama's doing in Afghanistan or whatever. But I think the other thing, too, is that people are being kept in the dark about a lot of the machinations that are going on. The mainstream media, particularly, is not interested in asking any of the questions that need to be asked about what our government is doing, and so the people don't know. I watched an interview with Seymour Hersh with Walter Mondale at the University of Minnesota this past week, and Hersh had talked about how he has direct evidence that the mainstream, main newspapers of the United States, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and others that he was naming by name, the editors said to their reporters, don't ask questions about these issues. And it was predominantly the war issues. We're going along with this. This is the way it's going to be. Don't push this issue. And so they're not informing the people, so the people can't do anything without any information.
Oh, that's right. Just imagine if a program like this could be on primetime TV, Bob. Well, I might last maybe 3 days before they assassinated me.
Or did what they did with Bill Maher, just got rid of you altogether, and that's it.
Exactly. We'll come back, and I spend too much time myself. I want to give you the last segment of the program.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa?
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Took up too much of the program. I apologize for that. Let me let you wrap up the final segment with your final thoughts on this or any other topic.
Well, I think some of the things that we've been talking about throughout the program today, I think kind of fit where my reading and research has been, particularly with Anatomy of a Deception and the new book that's coming out on the parameters of war. Kind of going in this direction of discussing U.S. imperialism and our constant need to war, I found it really dismaying, to say the least, that Obama received the Nobel Prize. But then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to listen to his acceptance speech, or at least part of it. I didn't listen to the whole thing. It went on far too long for my taste. But I found it interesting that he didn't get much applause from people except that when he mentioned peace a couple of times. But he tried to get beyond this notion of justice and warfare In other words, when can we go to war? And they try to talk about a just peace. So all of a sudden everybody started writing about the Obama Doctrine and what the Obama Doctrine is going to be with this notion of just peace. But when Obama was talking, he would talk about just peace, and at the same time he would say things like, we want continued military superiority for the United States, we want to continue to have our right to preemptive warfare, and then he'd toss in a little bit of language about human rights. And then at the same time he's escalating the war in Pakistan and Yemen, and he's supporting U.S. imperialism, ignoring parts of the just war tradition where the ethics of war say that you have to have probable success, that non-combatants must be protected, and the good gained must outweigh the bad. He ignored all of that entirely. And in his speech, he continued to embrace the notion of sanctions, which kill innocent civilians, like we've seen in Iraq, and the continued advocacy of U.S. hegemony. So the Obama Doctrine seems to me, by watching his Nobel Prize speech alone, seems to be kind of a continuation of the Bush Doctrine about warring who we want, when we want, and how we want, and at the same time we're going to block anything that pushes in the direction of justice. For example, the United States has been blocking and succeeded at blocking the Goldstone Report about Israel's crimes in Gaza last December. So this idea that Obama has, that he wants to continue on with what he calls just peace, is really just a rhetorical flourish for, let's keep things the way they are, let's keep American hegemony pushing forward, let's ignore those things about the limitations to going to war and what we can do in war when they don't suit us, and we'll just continue on with the way that things go. As Alan Nairn, the journalist who was on Democracy Now!, I think it was last week, said, Obama keeps the killing machine set on high, you know, he just keeps it on kill, and now Obama has become the terrorist and the murderer, just like George Bush was. And I think we've got to really hit that hard. I don't see a lot of people doing that right now.
I agree, Bob. We certainly will not get help from the top down. It's up to us. Thankfully, there are places that people can go to get real information. You can't get it through the major sources, the major papers, the TV networks, talk radio, but you can get it. There are many programs like this one. And thankfully, I think combined they attract a good size audience. Republic Broadcasting alone has a lot of fine programs, and people can stick to Republic, but there's so many others as well. Flashpoints Radio, KPFA. I'll have Nora Barris-Friedman on next week. We'll talk about Flashpoints. we can do plenty, Bob, but it's up to us to do it.
Right.
Oh, the music means that the time is up. It's been a great hour. You certainly know how impassioned I am on things like the Haiti issue, but all the other things that you mentioned. I sent you an email inviting you back, suggesting a few dates. We got to do this again, Bob. You have so much to say, and I want to give you more time to say it.
Wonderful.
My great thanks, Bob, as before. Let's do this again real soon, hopefully in February.
Sounds good to me. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, Bob. Thank you so much. And stay tuned for Ernie Hancock. He will have plenty to tell you as well.
Introducing the new